At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Merkle Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
I'm Brian Shipper.
I'm Mike Dre.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, if you'd like to have a conversation with us about your experiences from the road, on the road, during while you're driving on the road, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage, hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. We don't care. Just get a hold of us. We want to have a conversation with you. We want to know who you are. We want to know what you do. We want to know all about you.
It's like an interrogation. It does. Who almost, you are, what you do.
We know what you did last summer. No, we don't. That's why inquiring minds want to know. We want to know what the life of a truck driver is like and what your experiences are. Right, Shipper?
Yes, sir.
100%. Shipper, would you tell them about Buy Me a Coffee?
Buy Me a Coffee, virtual tip jar. You can reach that at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlanes, a virtual tip jar. If you like what we're doing here, feel free to contribute. Follow simple prompts. Appreciate you looking.
Amen. We do appreciate you looking. Who are we talking today, Mike? We have somebody in studio, as everybody can see.
We have Miss Luann.
We do have Miss Luann. How do you like being called Miss Luann? That'd be kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
sounds southern.
It does sound southern.
Miss Luann.
Yeah.
Sounds professional.
It does sound professional.
Well, she brought a pecan pie. We're good.
She's on the wrong show for that.
Professional has no home here.
No. But no, Luann, it really is. Thank you so much for coming in and having a conversation with us. We appreciate it. And it is nice to meet you. It's nice to have you here. It's nice to have you in studio. And, by the time we're done, the audience will know who you are. Uh-oh. And I think that's cool.
Yeah. And by the time you're done, you're going to wish you never knew us.
She's going to wish you didn't show up today.
Right.
I'm done.
Show's over. We're out. But no, thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get into the trucking world?
Well, when I was a young girl, in my 20s, divorced from my husband with three children. They used to go with their father on every other weekend. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys that I knew a guy that had his own truck. And he was going to Chicago. You want to come with to Chicago? And no. Just no.
Yeah, what are you, crazy?
That'd be my answer if anybody asked me. Yeah. Do you want to go to Chicago?
No.
No. No. And, but I don't know if it would be no, just no. It'd be no.
It would be an F word in front of me. No.
Hell no.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the time when the kids went with their dad, I felt lonely, mm-hmm. childless. It was difficult for me to be home without them.
Sure.
And my one girlfriend said, well, why don't you just go with them for a little bit. Now, at that time, I didn't have a car for 3 years. I was on HUD, mm-hmm. food stamps. Poor girl.
Right.
But that was how I started my life after I got divorced and separated. Anyway, I decided to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't even think if I went anywhere, I went to Jersey, if that, in my life. Not much. I did.
Wow, yeah. A traveler.
Right. But I did have my license to drive, but because I was a poor girl, I didn't have a car. I couldn't afford it.
Okay.
So I went with him and we ate at nice restaurants and it was wonderful and got to get out of Pennsylvania. And I never knew Route 80 across PA was so long.
Boring. A mountain. Oh, look, another mountain.
Trees.
Yep. This was back in the 80s. Uh-huh. And we went and I enjoyed it. And then about a month later, he said, if you ever want to go with again, if I just got to Chicago and back. So that's how I got into trucking. And when we were coming back a couple of times, he was tired. Uh-huh. And I said, I wish I could drive for you so we could get home.
Right.
And I told him, I hate this Route 80 because it takes too long to get home and downshifting, and mm-hmm. it was just a bit much. So right. then as time passed through I had a job then a couple of years later. Well, we were together. We were friends, but I had a job where I got an opportunity to go to school. So I went to school, truck driving school,
huh.
and got my license.
Awesome.
And I went with him so I could drive too.
That's awesome.
And then after a period of time, he owned his own truck and things happened that he sold it. And then we got we were hired by our company to run team.
Mm-hmm.
So then I ran team with him for 5 years cross country.
Wow.
Back and forth to California.
Wow.
Yep.
God bless you. That's awesome.
He did.
Back and forth 80.
No, sometimes 70.
Okay.
Sometimes Route 10, sometimes 40. But yeah, we used to, the one exciting part that we had is we used to get, go out to Hershey. We ran with Schaefer and we got a load of 45,000 pounds of Reese cups to go to San Francisco. And at Hershey, you're not allowed to go on the dock or anything. You back up and they load everything mm-hmm. and pull it out and lock it up. But they had a driver room with multiple trays of all kinds of broken pieces of candy that you could help yourself to.
Wow.
So we bagged up
Hershey's broken pieces.
Yes, broken pieces. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. They all look the same going on.
Right.
They all tasted good anyway.
Oh,
so we took some and that was a way of keeping people from stealing. But the best part is when we got across and made our delivery, when you open that trailer door and those barn doors, when you smell that greasy peanut butter cup, it's like, oh, my God, this is so good. So that's what I did for 5 years. And we also worked for another company where we were hauling Hatfield meats from Hatfield, PA to California because they don't have meat out there.
No, they're all vegans.
Well, no, they have meat out there, but we just couldn't understand why we hauled.
Right. That they don't have their
across country.
Right.
But they had meat packing places out there, but I guess Pennsylvania meats are like Lebanon.
Right. Yeah. That's not something that's everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So we did that for a while and hauled that. And when we were working for the Wink company, we were in a stub nose, a cab over, mm-hmm. a corn binder is what they called it. And
yep.
That's where you have the motor between you and you gotta crawl in your bunk and you gotta lay down to take your pants on and off.
Yeah.
It was a bit much. And the boss said, you take her out there and you keep her clean. You see that blue long nose Pete over there? He said, we'll put you in that. Well, that was a great incentive.
Wow, yeah.
So it took about 4 or 5 months. It took a while. And one day the boss called us in and said, I need to talk to you. It's like, oh, no. My friend says, you go in first. He'll be nicer to you. I'm like, no,
you go first. Huh?
Yeah, he always pushed me. So we went in together, sat down, and he had a real firm look on his face is like, oh my God, we're getting fired. What did we do wrong? What's wrong now? And we were talking, asking how things are going for us. And we were telling him, okay. He goes, well, you've a major accomplishment. Like, what are you talking about? He goes, here are the keys for the Pete.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. He says, it's already cleaned up, ready for you. And there's a load in the yard for you.
Isn't that awesome? That is so cool.
We can stand up now.
Yes. 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 Oh, yeah. Yeah. We had a shifter between us and it was wonderful. It was like we were in heaven.
That's cool.
And, that we were driving cross country then, and things happened back in the 80s. They had, I forget the word that they used. It's when they changed how drivers are paid. When we ran for him with the meat and the we were paid 20% of what the load paid.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Percentage of the load.
Right. Well, then things changed. And he said, oh, it's going to be a little bit different, but you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. So we went out and back and we got paid once a month. When we came back and looked at our pay, it was cut in half.
Wow.
And we went into the office and said, look, there's something wrong. You know, you only paid one of us. He goes, no, that's the new pay rate. It's like, really? Well, this is unacceptable for us.
Here's your keys.
Right.
Yeah. So we said, okay. He said, well, when you're done here, he says, you know, you can do what you need to do. The load's waiting in the yard. Okay. Okay. We went out. I looked at him. He looked at me. He says, load up. We're done. So we unloaded everything, left the keys in the truck. We didn't even go in and tell him. We just left.
I don't blame you. Oh, my word.
We just left. So and then we were
50% pay cut. It's like people are going to be okay with that.
It was trucking regulations or whatever. It was, I forget, but it was in, but anyway, then we looked for another company to work for, and that was Mr. Bates.
Is that what they call deregulation?
I think that's what it is.
I didn't know that had anything to do with like the
drivers. I didn't either, but if that's how they're getting paid, I don't know. I totally take your word.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So then we went and looked for a different company to work for, and we ran team for Marshall, and we were put in a, he said, come on in. He gave us a rental truck, I think. And this is, you know, 40 some years ago.
Right.
Maybe longer. But anyway, when we came back, he said, here are the keys to my vehicle. Go up to Pocono Pete. I got a brand new truck for you.
Wow.
So we went up and got a brand new Pete, long nose, beautiful. You could put the clutch in with your hand, shift it with two fingers. I mean, it was beautiful. When we went across 80, we only downshifted one gear with a full load.
Wow.
From 8 hours to 6, 5.5. And all we did was stay in the hammer lane and go. It was
no big deal. I never downshift now.
No.
It's because you're an automatic.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It does it all by itself.
It does. I just sit there.
Yeah. So that was a wonderful treat. Back in the 80s, men never saw a woman behind a truck.
Right. Yeah.
Truck drivers, when they would see me, they were kind of rude and sarcastic on the CB, so I would just turn it off.
Right.
And we always had a baseball cap hanging in the truck so they knew a male was in there when he was in the bunk and I was driving. Mm-hmm. And at that time, that's when I started driving nights, and he drove during the day when it was a little bit more hectic. But one time when we were going through Columbus, Ohio, through the loops or Cincinnati, it was a holiday weekend. People were going places, and there was a car with a bunch of a family and older women in it. And when they saw me, they were hooting and hollering and blowing the horn and doing this. I blew the air horn. They were acting as if they never saw an alien behind the wheel.
Wow.
It was like, oh my.
Well, you're like the unicorn. They really do exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's a rare sight nowadays to see that in trucks. So even back in the 80s.
Back then it was.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Well, like I had told you before, you still get that sarcasm on the radio. Yeah. If a woman would ask something,
she talks on the radio.
That's it. Yeah. It's like game on. And you know, it's and that's half the reason why nobody has the radio on anymore. Until the traffic stopped.
No matter who asked the question, you get sarcasm. Yeah. My radio sitting up there is an expensive door getter at the terminal. I call the half the time they don't answer anyway.
So. Yeah.
No, but I like the CB. I like to listen, and I like to know what's going on for traffic jams, road construction, you know, accidents and stuff. And it's a real good help. I just learned not to talk. And sometimes if I talk and the guys act as if they never heard a woman, then I just find a few nice choice words and shut them right up.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
That in 2024, it's still like that. It's like,
what? But it's not as bad as it was.
I can imagine.
It was a lot worse back then.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
From the worlds of Walter's math owl. Take your bottom lip and pull it up over your forehead and swallow.
Yeah. One time when we were in and he was paying for fuel or whatever, and I was looking around to get a few supplies or whatever, more than once I had a driver come up and start making conversation with me.
Right.
And they asked me if I was busy and if I would, you know, like to keep them company.
Right, commercial company.
It's awful cold in my bunk.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, man. You know, I'm in my mid-20s going on 30, and I was a skinny 120-pound lightweight. And I looked at him, and I said, well, so you know, I'm a TD. He goes, what's TD? I said, I'm a truck driver. Really? And I said, yes. So I said, I don't appreciate you approaching me that I'm a lot lizard. And no, I will not keep you company.
I heard that.
I just put them in there.
On your way out, grab a squeegee.
Yeah. So that happened a couple of times, different parts of the country.
Isn't that crazy?
But yeah, I drove team for 5 years and I grew to hate it because we used to work 4 to 6 weeks without a day off.
Wow.
And to get a day off back then, we had a hide and we knew how to hide. So we could go down when we were in California, we would put a lock on the trailer and go down to Huntington Beach and get a motel room. And the boss would tell us to look for a load on the TV screens. And yeah, do you see anything? No, I don't see anything either. Well, we'll go for lunch or we had breakfast. We'd come back. Do you see anything? No. Okay. So we went and got a room, got showered, and the boss would say, well, it's too late in the day. Come back tomorrow. Okay. So then when he came back, he says, I'll try to find something maybe by noon or later in the day. We said, okay, take your time. And sometimes when he called back, we tell him we really didn't call back right away. But
yeah,
I don't hope he gives it to somebody else.
Right.
We took another day off, but sometimes that's how we got time off.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to do what you need to do just to have a break from the truck to get out and not live within the confines of something that is, you know, 7 foot wide.
Well, you're in a seat or in a bunk.
Yeah,
and when you sleep, sometimes where you're at, you feel like you're in a junkyard going or a cornfield going through the field because it's a bumpy road and you can't sleep.
Anywhere in Pennsylvania, for instance.
Yeah. No, Nebraska's a lot worse.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's 400 miles. That's a rough ride. And that was where I had to sleep.
That ain't good.
I don't know how you sleep in a truck, period.
Right.
Even with it just idling, you know, if you're sitting idling, although now most of them don't idle, they have the APUs and stuff, but still with just sitting, I don't know. I barely sleep in my own
bed. When you're tired, you'll sleep.
I guess. I'm tired all the time. I still can't sleep.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, when you think about it, like, you know, we do, you know, relays at truck stops. And I always feel bad. I literally do. I feel bad pulling into, like, Jimmy's out there at Somerset and, you know, pulling in next to somebody who's sleeping in his truck. And now I'm going to drop my trailer. So you get the... to let the air out.
Leave the landing gear up real high.
Boom!
Boom! And then you go to back into the trailer next to it.
Boom,
beep,
boom.
Beep, yeah. Beep, beep. All the way. And every driver is doing that. Every pit aisle driver is doing that at a truck
stop. Not all of us.
Where everybody's trying to sleep. And I just think to myself, I would not like that. That would irritate me. I try and be as quiet as I can until the beeper goes off. You know, because you're backing up. And then I feel like, you know, let's just get this done as quickly as possible. Get all the banging done with, so we're done.
And then by that time, he just floors and he hears bang! It's the fifth wheel. Oh, we're locked.
And then everybody in the whole place feels the shockwave. Right? It's like an atomic bomb went off.
And you pull the trolley brake.
Brian's hooked.
Well, that's the problem with the automatics. When you first time you get into an automatic, you're used to pushing that clutch in to cut the power, the momentum. You don't have that. And I was like, the first time I did it, I had my foot on the accelerator. I'm like, and I go to reach for the clutch. It isn't there. And just bang, head slaps back. There's some whiplash. Learn real quick not to do that.
Yeah, you do. You do. But anyway.
Yeah, continue. But when you're a trucker and you're in bed sleeping, you might hear a truck backing up. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully they backed up and didn't hit you. You know, that's the worst thing.
Yes.
But sometimes if you need to, you just get out, peek out, look, okay, they're dropping, then just go. But so if you're tired, you're tired.
Right.
And you're if they're running you hard and you only got time to get 5 or 6 hours sleep.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Or you just always go in the back row in a truck stop.
Yep. That's true.
You go in the back row where the drivers park and stay there and sleep. Yeah.
Those are the really tired drivers. Yeah. You got there early.
Yeah.
Or the ones that'll probably be there for a couple of days waiting for a load or something.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And that does happen.
So how long you drove teams for 5 years?
Yep.
That's a long time to do team. I mean, I think it is.
I grew to hate it.
I believe it. Cause I mean, you're constantly working. Cause like you said, I mean, you're always moving.
We were never home. Can.
Yeah.
We never had holidays. We never had picnics.
And the funny thing is that was truck driving in the '80s. Anytime before like 2000 and, I don't know what, about maybe 2001, 2002. Everything before that was you're gone for 5, 6, 7 weeks at a time. You're never home. You don't see your family. If you're over the road, you're over the road and you live in your truck. And that's really what it was.
And they don't know where you are.
And then nobody has a clue.
Nope.
You know, nope. It's like it's a whole different world now, you know, because we're home. A lot of drivers are home within
one or two times.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You can call.
Yes, you can actually.
You can send a picture.
You don't have FaceTime.
Yeah.
You don't have to find a pay phone.
Right. Yeah.
You're paying for your phone.
Right.
Yeah. Back then, the family, from what I heard of through friends, mm-hmm. they never knew when we were coming home or how long.
Yeah.
Or if we had a full day or a day and a half home. I mean, that was nothing.
Right.
But they never knew when the bad weather was coming across the country, what part of the country where we were in.
Are you going to see it?
And we just didn't communicate. It's just the way it was.
Right.
I think also now there isn't a whole lot of the cross the country stuff.
Right.
Like they really upped the rail, so, you know, mm-hmm. for like a lot of like the Hershey's. I doubt you're going to get many loads going from Hershey, PA to California anymore. That's going to be put on rail to go over there. So, or they might even have plants on the West Coast too.
Yeah, I don't know. So.
How dare they?
I know, right?
It ain't made in Hershey. Yeah. It ain't Hershey.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
So I got out of it for a few years, about 20.
Out of trucking altogether?
Completely. I hated it. I was tired of it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be home, sleep in my own bed, use my own bathroom.
Don't blame you.
I was always in a different bathroom, a different toilet. I just got tired of it.
Sure.
Sometimes back in the 80s, to find a place to shower was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you go in and get a shower, they only had cold water and didn't tell you.
Wow.
Sometimes when we were in there.
You were dirtier coming out of that shower than you were going in.
Yeah. Or you go in and get soaked up. It's like, now I got to rinse off. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And one time when we were in there, like at New Mexico, Arizona, or Texas, I don't remember. It was down south. When we were in there, they knew they were having some water supplies problems. And he got in, got showered first. And when it was my turn, I got in, soaped up my hair. I had long hair. And the water went off.
Wow.
Your time has expired.
And there we were. I'm yelling at him. I have no water. He says, what do you mean you have no? I said, well, I have no water. He goes, what the hell? And he went out, got some clothes on and went out. And they said, oh, it'll come on in about 10, 15 minutes. Just tell her to wait. So I had to wait. And then
all soaped up. That's great.
Yeah.
And all soaked up and nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
No, I won't say that. But anyway, the water did come on. So after a while, when we went into truck stops, we said, are you having any water issues? Is the water going to stay on? Is it going to be hot? We learned to ask all these questions.
Isn't it crazy that in the 80s?
Yeah.
In the 1980s, I mean, I had an aunt who had a house in Kutztown, and it didn't have indoor plumbing. And I'm like, and that was the 70s. And I'm like.
But that's how they lived.
Yeah. But I mean, you'd think modern conveniences. I mean, at some point, modern convenience became modern conveniences. You know, like, did it just happen yesterday? It's like, apparently, you know, 1980s. Oh, we don't always have water. Oh. Yep. That's great.
Yep. Says the man with an outhouse in his backyard.
Amen, brother. That could be a modern convenience at some point. If everything goes to poop, I still got a place to poop. So.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, back to Luann.
Yeah.
As long as there's a bucket around, everybody has a place to poop.
Amen, brother. Oh, my aunt had
more. Or a guardrail.
Just make
a little
sure
chilly in the winter.
Just make sure you use paper. You don't want to use your hand.
Make sure you're not by your air dryer.
Oh, yeah.
Root. and his root story. Oh my God. We had a driver. His name was Root. I think he was probably gone by the time you were here. But he had to go one night, and he decided on the old tractors, there was a lot of space between the fuel tank and the front drive axle. So that was a good place to squat down and do your business. Well, he let the truck run, and right behind him was the air dryer. And well, he got bit, and it just blew it all back on him.
Oh my God.
He told his story to anybody who would listen, and he came walking into the terminal. From what I understand, I wasn't there yet, but he came walking into the terminal without a shirt on, and somebody said, "What happened to you? Don't ask any questions." Because he had to use his shirt because it blew up on the back of the shirt, and then he had to use the shirt to clean up everything else.
That's what happens when your spitter valve works very well.
Yes, oh, yes, no, sir. Your son's not going to like this story. He doesn't like the poop story.
I just okay. He's not on it anymore.
Which one is that?
Tony.
Yeah, but this is trucking.
It is trucking. It is. That's the reality. Yeah.
Sometimes this trucking happens.
Literally.
And that's got to be a bigger thing for a female driver.
To stop.
You can't just, I mean,
right.
The we world is our toilet.
Pee. Yeah, we can stop
much.
And go
yeah,
pee
if you just got to take a quick leak, it's yeah, easier for a guy than it is for
tires,
a woman.
You know.
Well, I don't want other
Yeah.
If you are.
She'd have to disconnect.
But yeah, I mean, I always, whenever I relayed with Sandy from Roanoke, she'd stop. You know, I'd think to myself, what a pain in the butt. I mean, that's really got it, because I can just, you know, stop and just pee.
Take a quick leak.
You know, take a quick leak and go. You guys got to
take a walk on the observation deck and you're back in the
we're
seat.
Back in.
The observation deck. Never heard it called that before.
You talking about Sandy, the one that uses Sandy the Carter. Men's room in Baltimore?
Sandy Carter.
Sandy.
Yeah.
She was known to do that.
From Roanoke, yeah. Bright Eyes. Yeah.
Bright Eyes, yeah.
You got to go, you got to go. Yeah. You know, which room is closer? The ladies is down the hall to the left or the men's room?
Yep, and sometimes you got to go so bad.
She came out of the stone, I go, oh my gosh, I'm in the wrong bathroom. There's a urinal. No, you're in the wrong bathroom.
And she's the type of person that said, I've seen it all, don't care. You just wash your hands, leave.
Yep,
you're standing at the urinal. Should I finish?
Yeah.
Now I can't go.
Oh, pee shot.
What the heck?
I can't go with an audience.
Yeah.
I don't even like watching me pee.
Wait, now all of a sudden you become one of the seven dwarfs, bashful.
Oh, that's funny.
That's what it takes.
That already happened to me at a truck stop when we were running team. Mm-hmm. There were 76 truck stops and pilots and... Anyway, they always had a row of phones for the drivers to 800
the
number
phone
call.
Bank.
And then they had the TVs up there with the loads.
Right.
And during the night, I had to go to ladies' room. And most of them always had the ladies on the right and the men's on the left. So I just automatically went to the right. And I was tired and I had to go. And I was just had a coat over me and went in and went did my thing. And when I came out, there were urinals. And I knew there were a bunch of guys out there. I'm thinking, oh my God. Well, just wash your hands. And when I went out, they were all standing there looking for me, smiling. And I waved.
That's when you go, see, I can stand and pee too.
Yeah.
And they're all like, whoa.
Why is my back all wet?
I just had to back up.
Yeah. So after then, that happened. Then I learned to
look for the sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Or look, walk in and make sure there's no urinals.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, when you got to go, you go.
You do. Yeah. And sometimes at least you got to go bad enough that you don't got time to look.
It don't matter.
Exactly.
Just as long as you get a toilet, you know?
Yeah, you got that right.
Yep. But yeah.
That I tell you what, you really do think about it now as a guy and sitting here just talking to a female truck driver.
Well, that's
those are really some of the kind of the crazy things that you have to deal with, you know?
Well, as if
that we took for granted.
Yeah, and you do. Yeah.
Well, like I said, since they changed our routes, you know, going up 309 and all that.
Yeah.
Where are they finding a bathroom at 2 a.m?
Or is anybody having room to pull over to find
right.
to even,
exactly.
even take a leak?
You know, even if you want to try to use the guardrail or whatever, there's nowhere to go. Yeah. I mean, that was the whole issue why they went back to the bike.
Right.
You know, traffic light, as you say, get out on the observation deck. I hope this light holds long. Yeah.
If not, we're through for we're here for two cycles.
Sorry, folks.
Just put the brakes on in four ways and go do it.
That's
just
right. You got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Hey, you're losing antifreeze. Pop the hood, yes,
throw the triangles out.
But that's the whole issue, you know.
Well, it is, and you're on a road where if you break down, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
Well, when you break down, the first thing you do as a female, you don't drink no more.
Well, I hear that.
And you don't eat. And the other thing I've learned is when I break down, depending where I'm at, I call for help and then I quick get out and do my business and get back in, because then once if a cop comes or a road repair guy comes, sometimes you sit 2, 3, 4 hours.
Yeah.
So at least I'm emptied and then I have to wait. But more than the other thing that happens is when the truck can't run and you're cold, which has happened, when the tow truck driver comes or whoever comes to, I always ask them, can I sit in your truck and do you have heat? And then once I get in there with heat, I'm okay. Yeah. I get to where I need to be. But
yeah, it's amazing how much cold will make you have to go pee. Mm-hmm. You can be totally fine in your warm truck, and the minute you step outside, it's like, I got to go to the bathroom now.
What's worse, if it's cold out and it's raining, you hear the water dripping down. Like, oh.
All of a sudden, your bladder's like, I'm full.
Yep.
When did that happen?
Yep.
I didn't drink anything for an hour and a half.
Yep.
That's but why I say when you break down, you always try to make it at a convenient spot.
Sometimes you don't have that choice.
Yeah, when I had the flat tire, well, you're still moving. Give me a couple minutes. I'll be at an exit ramp. Trust me on this.
It's only one tire. I got 17 others. Leave me alone.
A tire is one thing, you know, but if you blow a, your turbo.
Yeah, well, you can still move. You know, you can still move. Very, very slow.
Or a steer tire.
Yeah, or steer tire.
You're forced to pull over.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you're at.
Providing you didn't get pulled over prior to that, being the steer tire threw you into the wall or anything. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So what'd you do after that? So when you quit driving, the teams gave up all that in the 80s, and you went back to doing...
As a mother, I could cook and things. I went back to working in a deli and with food and at ShopRite. And I ended up working for a food service company.
Okay.
Delivering. I had a straight truck delivering to vending machines.
Oh, okay.
I did that for a couple of years. I went to work in a cafeteria, and I ended up being a boss in the cafeteria and running that. And that's kind of basically what I did.
Okay.
So I just got into the food business.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So what made you come back to trucking then?
I'm waiting for this one.
Another bad man.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Well, I didn't keep my license up, which I should have. And I did go to the first time I went to school was down in Newcastle, Delaware, in the 80s. When I had a job and I got unemployed and we went to unemployment, my friend was with me and they said, well, we can help you with finding a job. I said, well, I want something different. Right. And they went through all the things. And then at the end, it was truck driving. I'm like, oh, my God, no. And I looked it over and my friend, her cousin, he was a trucker and his brother-in-law was a trucker. And it was like, oh, and then we were hanging out and they go, why don't you go back into trucking? You can drive. I said, because I don't want to.
Right.
And I said, well, I don't want to run team. And they said, well, you can learn on your own. Mm-hmm. Well, I said, I don't want to do that. And after time passed, I couldn't find nothing else. Well, I'll try it out. So then they paid for my schooling at El Tri-C as long as I got a job in trucking.
Wow.
So I told them, you need to help me get a job near home. I don't want to be over the road or gone, and that I can handle myself, that I'm not in New York City or certain places in Jersey that are dangerous for men, let alone a woman.
Yep.
So
don't blame you.
Through that, I went to El Tri-C, got training, and they helped me with getting a job. It was with Falcon out, and they ran auto parts. And when we went to school and did paperwork and stuff, they put us in trucks. And in a truck, you have your trainer and two other people, and I was the third one.
Right.
And they asked me privately, do you mind if we have you drive first? I said, sure, no problems. Well, they didn't know I could drive.
Right.
And when we went out.
Isn't that awesome? That's like a nice little secret to have in your back pocket.
Sorry to interrupt. You literally had to go through the whole process all over again.
Yes, because I didn't keep paying for my life. I was fed up with it. I didn't want
to. Right. No. So you had to come full circle all the way back. Wow.
But now I will.
Yeah, full circle.
But now I will keep my license. Even when I'm 80 and 90, I will keep it because you never know.
Right.
Now, in order to keep your license, don't you have to do your physical yet? Do you have to keep up on that? Or do they still take it away?
You
got to
keep your physical.
So,
as long as you're even if you're not driving, you have to do your physical. You still got to keep your medical card.
No, I don't.
I think if you just keep paying to keep your license, if you get a job, you need to get a physical.
Right. I think.
But if you're not working, you don't need a physical.
Okay.
I don't know for sure.
It's a gray area.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I won't be.
I wasn't sure if you
will just be here today.
I know my father going to drive, but he hasn't driven in years.
Right.
He said he still has a CDL, and I know he ain't. I don't think he passed the physical.
Yeah.
Right. But if you go, like, if you want to get a part time job, you just have to go and get your physical, and then you can drive.
Right.
But if you don't have your license, you've got to go through it all again.
Okay. Because I didn't know you have to self-certify and everything.
This is where like I'm trying to remember what that letter said. Every time every physical, you get a letter from the state, and it says if you fail to do this, you lose your CDL privileges.
Your CDL.
I think what they do, they put you.
That's why I'm curious.
I think it's you know. That's
a good question.
You can't drive until you got a medical card.
Okay,
so like you said,
you can keep
a physical card, a certification.
Then you can drive.
Your certification for a class A will still be there.
Right.
But until you get the medical card, if you're driving with that window of no medical card, that's a big no-no.
Right.
Yeah, you can't do that.
As what I understand it to be. Now, I don't work for Morgan & Morgan. I'm from the law firm of You Cheat Him and Howe.
I guess always wondered that because you always get that.
You Cheat Him and Howe.
You always get that letter and you have that momentary panic. My CDL's going to take it.
Holy crap, what did I do?
And then you realize, oh, this is every year and you just
garbage. Right through the wood chipper.
Yeah. And you think to yourself, they spend an awful lot of money sending out letters.
Well, it's your money. It's tax dollars. Plenty of it. It's
hard work. Anyway, so you did the food industry thing. You cooked. You did all of the.
Bartending, everything. A little bit of everything. Went back into trucking, went to El Tracy. When we went out in the truck the first day, they asked me to drive. So the driver took us somewhere, I forget where, but we had to go through Center City, Allentown, like Tillman Street. Mm. And he put me behind the wheel. And that was tight, and that's scary. I think we went like down 309 from El Tracy and pulled over, whatever. But we didn't, and then we went through the city, and I guess my driving skills were there. And he was looking at me, and the guys are going, "Oh my God, this is, oh," you know, they were freaking out in the back. Right. And I didn't think about it, but you know, I knew how to do all this. And and when we got done, then they put the other two in, and they really panicked and had a hard time. And when we got back to the school, they pulled me to the side, two or three men said, "We need to talk to you in the office." I'm like, "Oh, now what do I do? Oh no."
They want you to be a trainer.
No. They said, "Did you drive before?" I said, "Yes.
My first day."
Yeah. They said, we could tell because he said, "You did well with that."
and that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then when we.
But you still had to be there the whole 8 weeks or whatever it was.
Not
that they could give you the pass.
But it was a review. And the good thing is, they said, "Well, we're going to keep this a secret because this will make the other guys work harder because I'm a female and I'm showing them up."
Yep. That ego thing will take over.
And it does every time, guaranteed. So that worked, and I was okay with all that. And then we had fun with that. Then at the end of school, I let the guys know that I had my license before. "Oh, is that how you did it? So good."
But it was a good challenge for them.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And it was a good challenge for me, too.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I was beating you all.
You know, here you are. I mean, you hadn't driven for 20 years.
Yep.
I mean, that's a long time not to drive, to get in behind the wheel of a tractor.
Well, you know what they say. Once you get off the bicycle, you can get right back on.
Yep.
Yeah, unless you're Joe Biden, then you just can't stand up.
Well, then you put both feet down. You visit Biden Falls.
What happened?
Hey.
Just put both feet down.
Now we've come to the political portion of the show.
No.
The political portion's over. As far as it goes, it's just a funny joke.
Don't
we'll move
get
on.
Me started.
Amen, sister.
Don't get any of us started. Good. We all have a...
Yes. Yeah. So then you worked for Falcon for a while.
Yeah, about a year. They hooked me up with a run up to Connecticut and back, easy, basic. And
good, yeah, it's
did all that. And
you're home every day on that? Or?
Yeah, 5 days a week, 8 hours. It was
that's what you're looking for.
It was good. Basic and easy, and
amen.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then from there, from Falcon, where'd you wind up at? Where'd you go? Do you remember?
Do you want to remember?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of jobs.
I think it was 2005 when I got my license.
Okay.
Again, and went through all that. And then I worked for a small company down in Bethlehem. We hauled parts that you, they refinished them.
Okay.
A machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
And they refinished them. So then I had a load one day going up to New York and Connecticut, delivering them, bring up other parts back. The next day I went out to Harrisburg.
Yeah, very cool.
One day I went up to Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for about a year and a half. And then things happened that I was out of there. And then trying to find a job as a female in 2007, 2008, we had the crash and everything.
Yeah.
I could be in line with a bunch of other guys, and they all went in and got a job. And when I went in, they said the job's filled. And when I came out, I stood and talked to one of the other people that were behind me, and they all went in and came out with the job. So I said, I went in the next time the person was going in. I said, so how dare you? You give all these guys a job and not me. You know, I said, this is prejudice.
Yeah, sexual discrimination.
I said, you know, but the good thing is, if you don't want me, I don't want you.
Right.
I said, this is no place for me. And I walked away. But I had a lot of issues getting hired. And because I didn't have much experience, like a year or two. So it took a while to get hired. But the one good thing that I did get hired was with Team Beyond A. They were up off of 84. And I was hauling Purdue chicken.
Okay.
And my first run with them, they said, well, we're going to run you out to the cross docks in Western PA, and they're going to hook you up with the load. I'm like, okay, where am I going? Well, we're not sure yet. Well, they knew.
Right.
They sent me to Miami.
Oh, I'm like, wow.
What? So
that's not home every day.
Nope.
No.
And a day and a half if you really push it. 14
unless Miami becomes your new home.
Yeah, true.
Park in my truck again. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, then I couldn't understand. Because I had truck parts and an alternator and oil and antifreeze and all this stuff in the side compartment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I usually put a case of water. And I'm like, what do I have? Well, this is just in case. Well, this piece of crap truck that I had needed all this stuff.
Wow.
So I wasn't even down through the West Virginia, and I had to pull over, and I had to get antifreeze put in. I found another driver. I'm usually pretty good at finding a guy to help me. The guy's truckers are pretty friendly out there. There's one or two a-holes, but, you know, just push them to the side. So this thing needed antifreeze and besides fueling. But I got down to Miami in a good amount of time, like 6 hours ahead of time, and they were shocked because I ran team. I knew kind of how to do it. And when I came back, they hooked me up, and I said, look, I'm not being rude, but you told me I'm going to have a local run. I said, if you can't put me on the Purdue, I'm not staying here. So then he said, well, don't you like going to Miami? I said, I have no problem going to Miami. But I said, I want to be home closer to home.
I have no problem going to Miami on vacation.
Exactly. And I also told him this piece of crap that I'm driving. I said, I need something in better condition.
Right.
So they got me a different truck, a better truck.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me on the Purdue run, and I ran Purdue chicken. We went down to Delaware. Picked it up, fresh Purdue. Purdue chicken is always fresh cut meat, never frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So when they bring all the chickens in and hang them by their feet and chop their heads off and process it, that's all fresh. So we used to go up to Connecticut off of 91 and deliver up there. And that all went good. And the one bad situation I had with them, two of them, I was coming... No, it was one. I was off for a week in February, and I came back, and they redid my truck. I was put in a Peterbilt, and they redid some things to keep it in good order, make sure my bunk heater worked. And cold winter's day, February 19th, and you start the truck up, get it warm, put all my stuff in, like a 2-week supply.
Mm.
And I went across 84 and down 380. Empty trailer. went on 80, left lane, middle lane, right lane. It was snowing, so I was taking my time, checking my mirrors. And when I got to the right lane, I looked down and my gauges all went zoop to the to nothing, zero. Wow. I'm like, okay, something's seriously wrong here.
Right.
Checking my mirrors, saw nothing. So I scooted right on the shoulder, not even 2 miles on 80. When I scooted on the shoulder, I went to pull the brakes popped out. Black massive smoke came out from behind the bunk in front of the truck. I couldn't even see out from under me. I'm like, well, something's wrong. It's burning or something.
She's cooking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was. It was. It was horrendous. And I'm thinking, what happened? You know, when I was driving, I saw no smoke, no nothing.
It was all behind you.
Yeah, it was. It was. So I grabbed my headset, put it on, grabbed my phone, no coat, no nothing. And when I got out of the truck, underneath my seat, the flames were like 3 foot by 4 foot massive under my seat. I'm like,
wow.
So I closed the door and got out. Now the snow's coming down. This is 12 noon. It was snowing for a good 6 hours. All the cars coming. Some didn't get out of the right lane, and then they were slowing down. And then when they slowed down, other people were running into them. So there were multiple accidents as this happened. I got in front of the truck and called 911 and told them where I was and everything. And they said, are you hazmat? And I said, no, it's an empty trailer. Are you alone? Is anyone else involved? No. They said, okay, well, where you're at, it's going to be a little while. I said, what's a little while? Well, it'll be more than 20 minutes. More than 20 minutes. I said, it's going up in flames.
Well, at least you have a heater.
They got the marshmallows.
Yeah.
Well, it went up in flames until a state trooper came. But by the time the trooper came, I was freaking out because the flames were coming. There were accidents. You could hear people running into each other. I didn't know what happened.
Right.
It was still snowing. And like a panic woman, I start waving my hands. And the truckers that went by, well, there was no place to stop. They kept going. Right, so a car pulled over with a young couple, a guy and a girl, and they asked if I'm okay. I'm like, no. And who's the driver? I said, I'm the truck driver. Oh, my gosh. Well, then another lady pulled over with her daughter. They were going to the malls to shop. And they said, well, come on, get in the car. So I got in the car with the lady and her daughter, and she gave me her coat to wear. And then shortly after that, the police officer came, the statey, asked me all kinds of questions. I was in touch with my boss. He said, we're getting a tow truck there, or a team to put it out. And I told him, look, this thing's on fire. It's in flames. I said, the flames are 2 to 3 stories high. I said, this is massive.
Right.
He's like, oh, my gosh. You know, the boss was, everything's okay. We have insurance. You're covered. You're covered. So what they were,
I don't care. It's your truck.
Yeah, but I did care as time passed.
Hey, truckers, ever find yourself miles from home and running low on your daily meds? Don't worry, we've got your back. Meet Refill Genie, the telehealth service designed just for folks like us who are always on the move. Whether you're crossing state lines or hauling coast to coast, Refill Genie connects you with a licensed doctor to refill your existing prescriptions hassle-free. No more detours or long waits at the clinic. Just hop online and get your meds and keep on trucking. Use code HLL for a 15% off your order. So head over to refillgenie.com and keep your health in gear wherever the road takes you.
So this lady and her daughter asked me to sit in the car with her, and I did. So when the cop was there and I sat with him, they left. And then we were in touch on the phone. So they went to the mall. When they got to the mall, just down the road, one or two exits, they got in an accident. Her car was totaled.
Wow.
So then they had to call her husband to come get her and the daughter. So he had a pickup truck. So he went past where my burning truck was to the mall. And when he got in there, he was in an accident and totaled his truck.
Wow.
That's a bad day to be driving.
I don't want to say anything, but. Yeah, I think you were the schlep rock.
Yeah, what's the common denominator in all these situations?
Yes. And I felt so bad. And I thought, well, if they would never have pulled over for me, this probably wouldn't. They lost two vehicles.
Right.
So I felt bad, but we kept in touch. But, you know, they had to go through an insurance company. But when this was all happening and my truck was up in flames, when I got in front of the truck and start talking to them, to call the 911 and to call my boss, My hand shook so bad, trembling, that I had to hold my hand. And I never trembled like that in my life. And about 2-3 hours into this, this was a 6-hour ordeal till I got back to the terminal. Right. The boss says, "Hey, Luann, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make a copy of your license. And we got a truck here with a load. When we get you to the yard, just take the load and deliver it down in Delaware." And he said, "Stop by your house and we'll get whatever supplies you need." And he said, "You know, this is how we're going to hook you up." And I told him, flat, "No, there's no way you're putting me in a truck." I was still trembling. Right. I'm thinking, I'm in no condition to drive a car, right, let alone this. So when we did get back up there and went through all the procedures with the insurance and everything, I just wanted to get in my car and go home. Mm-hmm. And when I came out 84, I had a hard time doing 35, 40 miles an hour. Then I finally realized I shouldn't be behind the wheel. Now what do I do?
Right.
But the roads were plowed, so I just wanted to get home. It was a 90-minute ride normally, but I did get home down 33 and home. But it was horrendous.
Sure. Right?
And then the next day I called him up. Well, 2 days later I called him up and gave him a piece of my mind. How dare you ask me to go behind the wheel when my truck's still in flames?
Right.
Yeah.
Did they ever find out what the fire was from? You said they were working on it beforehand. Is this something they did?
Well, they handed the truck to another driver in the beginning before they worked on it. I was out a week. What they told me was, and what I'm assuming this was the truth, the fuel filter on a Peterbilt runs at higher RPMs. And the fuel filter wasn't tightened. So when the truck was running, it was leaking fuel out over the motor. And when it got to a certain temperature, it went up in flames.
Wouldn't have this with an electric truck.
Up in smoke.
Yep. Yeah.
Wouldn't have this with an electric truck. Just saying.
Yeah.
No, you would have been out of juice there, Johnny, way before that.
Yeah, simple extension cord to somebody, good to go.
Cold winter's day there. Yeah.
So that mechanic got fired before I ever got back to the yard.
I guess
immediately.
So. Yep.
And the truck and trailer were totally gone. And I said, how can I drive a burning truck and not know it? And what they said is all the smoke came underneath the tractor, underneath the trailer, and out by the time it got out.
Yeah, as long as you were moving, there was dissipated. Yeah.
And I said to them, what did I do? They said, you didn't do anything wrong. So another guy that I worked with, John, he was a senior driver, and he was a boss in where he worked at for years and owned his own truck. And he said, you know what, Luann, we need to get out of here. So we started looking for work, and within 6 weeks, I moved somewhere else.
Probably a good move.
Well, I had to because I didn't.
Yeah.
I could have got killed that day.
Yeah.
100%. That's crazy.
Yeah. And they said it was my driving skills that saved my butt because normally, well, now it was snowing, so I wouldn't do this in the snow. Mm-hmm. But normally I would get up to 55, 65 and go in the middle lane and hammer down.
Right.
But they said if I would have been doing that when the brakes would have popped out, I probably would have jackknifed,
yep,
and I would have been trapped inside. And they also said, and then I would have burned to death, not to mention what other cars would have been involved.
Right.
Well, that was enough to frighten me completely to get out of this situation with this company. And the other thing they said is where I was at, if I would have went back in the truck to get my purse or a coat or anything, and that door closed, they said from the heat underneath, they said it could have swelled it up.
Yep.
The truck door would have never opened and I could have burned in there also.
Wow.
So hearing and knowing that, it's like, okay, the Lord saved me.
Yep.
You know, amen. I wasn't in a bad situation that I did die or get wounded, but it was. So after that, I looked for companies that had good trucks.
Not only that, but if you would have, that would have happened somewhere where there weren't a lot of people around and you were trapped out of your truck in a freaking snowstorm, no jacket or nothing.
Yeah.
That could end it badly for you there too. Like you said, you got a heater, but how close do you want to get to a burning truck?
No, we got far away because after a while, which I didn't know, the tires were exploding.
Yeah, they were popping.
And they just put new tires on the tractor.
Yeah. That was
so they were popping. Yeah. So with this blowing up, when I was with the lady and her daughter, I said to her, we got to get further. We went pulled down further away with the car and everything.
Yeah.
And then somebody told me later, I just filled up with 150 gallons of tanks of fuel.
So that was going to burn a while.
Yeah.
No. They told me the fuel wouldn't burn.
Well, it'll burn. It won't explode, though, like gas will, but diesel will burn.
They said when the truck was done, and I was with the Stady, I wanted to go back and look at it.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have taken pictures during all this, but I didn't because I was too shook up. Mm-hmm. But when I went back, all it was a chassis, a frame, the motor. I could see my frame on my seat, my load bars behind it, and I started shaking. Yeah. It's like, okay. And then
the whole cab, all the metal melted.
It melted.
Yeah.
It was gone. Wow. Beautiful, Pete. It was awful.
Isn't that crazy?
And $7 a hundred at the scrapyard.
Yeah. Yep. How about it?
And yeah, my Mac, when I hosted the barbecue out here on 78 that time with ECM, my cab was, I mean, the hood was gone, of course, because it's a plastic or fiberglass.
Yeah.
But I think Mac still made their cabs out of steel. So yeah, everything was still there. But yeah, when those tires start popping, that's horrifying.
When the tires start popping, you know she's hot.
Blow. It ain't just a pop; it's a blow.
The fire department, they said
it sounded like a bomb.
Yeah. It's like when you
had a drive blowout on me. I'm like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And it blew and banged and carried on.
I had 40,000 or over 40,000 in the box. And when those back tires, I think only two of them popped. But the fire department, you could see the whole trailer kind of just bop up real quick. And the fire department, they took off. They stopped. That's when they stopped.
We're out of here.
Yep. That's when they stopped. They just said, we're letting it burn. Because I had all kinds of hazmat. So they were trying to do what they could.
Yeah. So, like you were saying, back to what you're saying about the fire. That you were in the right lane in that you were obviously when your buttons popped out, the plastic lines already melted.
Mm-hmm.
So
I had nothing.
Yeah. You had nothing. Brakes were locking up already. Mm-hmm. So, you getting over, you only had to go that 8 feet for the,
but
shoulder,
I did it,
but
and
you
not
did,
knowing it.
You did. Yeah. You did it, which averted you, like you said, possibly jackknifing, could have went, you could still have gone, but you going that way, you're kind of probably running momentum with the way it's going to jack.
Yep.
Versus if you were in the middle of the lane, could go either way.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It was a frightening.
Yeah.
February 19th.
That's like, wow. That's an ocean moment.
That's an understatement there.
Yeah. It definitely is. But wow, that's crazy. That is a crazy story. Thank God you were safe.
Yeah.
It's, any of these things that you walk away from, you're like, wow.
Yeah, I stayed off of work a week. And the boss came up and said, I got a better truck for you. I'm like, what's better? I'm in a peak. Come on, this is a good truck.
Right, yeah.
But I had a better truck, too, till she went up in smoke.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, when now my belongings burned, we ran with cash for toll booths, so I always used to carry $500 cash.
Wow.
The week before, he gave us all new beautiful Carhartt jackets, which that was in the truck and burned. And then when the insurance thing went through, he said, I have bad news to tell you. He said, this is when I was home for a week. He said, through our insurance claim, it only covers the truck and trailer and the product in the trailer. He said, your belongings are not covered. You have to go through your homeowner's insurance.
I wasn't in my home. I was in your freaking truck.
But he had the power.
He
could have just cut you a check.
Yeah.
That's a BS excuse from anybody who's an owner. That's how I see it.
I need to show you the toll receipts for the $500.
Right.
Well, let me just write one out. Toll.
$500.
Yeah, exactly.
Here.
I mean, that's a lame excuse.
And he reimbursed me $200 out of the $500. So I took a loss there.
Yeah, that's a $300 loss. Who can afford that?
Well, all my belongings and...
Yeah, your Versace purse cost more than that.
Right.
Exactly. And my shit kicker boots.
The Versace steel tips.
Versace steel tips. They have a special edition.
They were. They were awesome.
And then I said to him, well, we all got new coats last week. They were like $250 coats. I said, can you replace the coat? He goes, no, that was a special order. He says, I don't have any. I can't give you one. So I'm thinking, when I talked to my friend John that was an owner-operator, he said, we need to get out of here. We need to leave. So I had to put a claim through my homeowner's insurance to get everything paid, and they were very good about it.
Wow.
Go buy anything and everything you need. Send us the receipts. I said, well, I can't do this all at once. So I did it as I went home and through running Purdue Chicken and everything, but that's how I got out. But I had everything replaced. But it was, I had some
the homeowner's insurance would do that.
I don't know.
It's my personal belongings.
Yeah.
And then my insurance would
probably
went
fall
up.
Under casualty and theft loss.
Yeah, I guess. I know they like do jewelry and stuff and stuff like it because it's in your home, though.
Right.
This was in a truck.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't imagine that they would do that.
Yeah, but theoretically, if she's in the truck 6 weeks at a time, that's her home. New
that's
home.
That's her home, right? It's an extension of your home is what I'm wondering.
You know, here's the Allstate people.
But nah. Who'd you have? Who'd you have? What was your insurance company, if I can ask? Because I'd like to get them.
You cheat him in how?
No, that's your lawyer. That's your law firm.
Well, they're vetted in a lot of areas.
It's all one thing.
I think I had traveler's insurance.
What?
Well, you were traveling. There you go.
Perfect.
Well, they took very good care of me.
Good.
That is really good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
That's my word. Yeah. You know, to lose.
You know, you don't hear that end of the story that often. You know, until it happens to you and you know the process you got to go through, which this sucks.
Right. And the thing is like, you know, we don't normally get the and everything worked out.
Right.
Because it usually doesn't.
Yeah. You know, or so what problems did you have?
That's why, that's why you should only have enough in there to you everything's there to go. If there's a to go bag to go in, there should be a to go bag to go out.
Yeah,
that's
it. Go bag and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I packed food. I had sheets. Right,
yes. You were living.
I had winter coats, an extra pair of boots, you know, sneakers if I needed them. And, you know, I lived in it.
That's why working for Pitt, Ohio was great. When I had my fire, I mean, I didn't have nowhere near what you had, but I lost a jacket. My safety jacket, the CB, of course.
All those marshmallows, antenna. All the hot
dogs. I know, all of them. But within a week,
all them Hershey bars,
checking my hand to replace all of it. And they sent me a new safety jacket and everything.
Wow.
But yeah, so Pitt is a good company to work for.
They are.
They are very good.
Yep.
Very good.
I totally agree with you. No matter what, I know we've all had our moments. We've all got times where it's like things didn't work out or we didn't like this or we don't like that decision. Chuck Campbell doesn't make decisions based on what I want.
Yep.
Chuck Hamill makes decisions based on what's best for the company. And that's what I appreciate about Chuck Hamill.
But it's
and I will
for
say
all
that
us.
Every day to anybody, and it's for everybody.
Yes.
That's exactly right. I don't care. I don't have to agree with everything.
Right. And we don't.
As long as my check don't bounce at the end of the week.
You know what they camper, you know what they say. Opinions are assholes. And they're all like assholes. And everybody's got one.
Yes, sir.
So, almost screwed that one.
Yes, you did. But that's okay. You got a cold.
But I was ahead of myself.
You were. It's the Robitussin talking. But no, I agree with you. I do. I don't have to agree with everything that goes on here at Pitt.
As long as your phone goes ding at 3:30 on a Thursday morning.
Because I don't. I mean, that's just the way we all have an opinion.
Well, until you work at other companies and have experiences of good and bad, you don't know what good is.
That's the problem with some of the young guys. They haven't worked too many places driving.
And sometimes that's the problem
with some of the senior guys that only had one job in their life.
Yeah, or it's been so long that she worked someplace else. That's just a reality that you forgot what it's like out there in the real world.
Right.
You've been living in the pits where in the Pitt, Ohio dream world, in the Pitt, Ohio dream castle, because we all get to be part of the show here. You know, we're all Barbie and Ken.
Yeah.
It's just, but it's like this, it's not fair to look at Pitt and lay on them. Cause sometimes it's like, they have to make a decision for 3,000 people who work for them.
And it's a good company.
It is
they
a good
take
company.
Care of their trucks. They take care of us. Our Blue Cross Blue Shield is excellent.
Yep. And it's paid for.
And I had a great chance to use that through having breast cancer and everything. So, I mean, I've worked for other companies where when I had the truck fire, I was paying for my own insurance.
Wow.
So they didn't provide it. But, you know, until you work at other companies, you don't know. But when I was done there, I went to JP Express in Bryanixville.
Yeah.
I worked there for 5 years.
Oh, is that
years.
Where they're out of?
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yep.
And they're top dog for Uline.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was hired there, it was just run up to Hazleton and back 2-3 runs a day.
Okay.
And then after that, they eliminated it. And then they said the only things left is line haul. And I said, I'm not doing that because that goes to New York City.
Oh, yeah.
And not in the city, but to Long Island.
Mm.
That's past the city as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but
as far as I'm concerned, same thing.
Yeah, but it's in New York.
Yeah,
but then you get to severance yourself to the world's largest parking lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The LIE.
Or the George Washington, where I sat many times.
Right. Yeah.
So I looked for something, couldn't find nothing. I thought, well, now what am I going to do? This older gentleman I know used to run with this other guy up to there all the time. And I talked to him. I said, hey, Lee, I can't find nothing and they don't have nothing for me. All I can do is this. I said, can I run with you if they give me permission? Sure, we'll go up together. So they gave us permission, went up on a Friday night. And it was clear sailing up through the GW, the LIE. We ran back and forth. We were up in New Haven and came back. He said, oh, you need to come with me more. This has been great. You're a good luck charm. So then Monday night came and they said, well, what do you think? I said, I need another run with him because I need to know what's bad because this was all really good.
Yeah, Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I went up there on a Monday and then it was havoc. And we waited like an hour to get over the GW and all the construction. And,
Ran the good. Now here's the ugly.
Yeah. And then when we came home, it was like 5:36 in the morning and it was getting light out. Then when you can see the city, it's like, oh gosh, it's an ugly looking city during the day. It's pretty at night.
It is.
So then after we did that, they said, so what do you think? I said, well, if you let me run with Lee that we can buddy up, I'll go. Mm-hmm. And that's how we started. And then he was
very cool.
He was in that lead and I went up in my own truck and that's how I got going. And
oh, that's cool.
I did that for 5 years.
Oh, that's nice. That was nice that they let you do that. They ran it that way.
Well, they wanted to keep me and I was giving them stipulations of they needed to work with me.
Yeah. Good deal.
Because every job I ever got was no New York City. I wouldn't. Yep. And here I am going over to the GW.
Yeah. I've held to my guns with, you know, I never crossed the Hudson.
Yep.
Till I got here.
Yeah.
And what do? Go to Connecticut.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I had that. Anything north, anything upstate New York, it's okay.
That's not upstate. That's just.
Well, it's not Manhattan either. Any of the five boroughs.
If you ask anybody in New York, anything that's not the five boroughs is upstate.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And I'm okay with that. I don't. You can call it whatever you want. Midstate, upstate, no state. I don't care.
Upstate's Watertown.
I'm a happy man going close to the city. That's fantastic. If I can look out and look down. And maybe see a little bit of city lights, like way off.
That's close enough.
Well, maybe get off your ivory tower there.
Yes, that's right. I will get off my ivory tower at some point when somebody else can have it.
I'm too close if I can see the city.
Yeah.
I didn't like even going to Jersey City and Bayonne when I ran the city at Pitt. I can see the skyline. I don't like that.
If you can see the Statue of Liberty, you're way too close.
Oh, that's real close.
That is real close. I've seen it many times. Yes, I've been to Bayonne many times when I ran the city for Pitt. Yep. And I hated it.
The only time that's nice is when you're on a cruise ship from Bayonne.
No, the only time
that's nice
is when you can see the Statue of Liberty in your mirror.
In your rear view mirror.
And because Bayonne is such a great place to be, when you come back, all your wheels are gone.
They clean that up
pretty
much.
A part of Bayonne that you never saw. Yeah.
Not that at a cruise ship terminals.
They clean that up pretty much.
Okay, well, that's all right. I stand corrected. I'm still not going to go. If I want to see something like that, I can go online. And I can look at it,
Google,
and
get a street
better
view.
Picture of it than if I drive to it.
Or you can go on a bus trip or have someone else drive and go up and see the city lights.
Or I can just Google it.
There's a lot of beautiful. You can, but there's a lot of beautiful things. That's what I'm going to do.
When I went to see Billy Joel as a family, I took the kids to go see Billy Joel. My wife and myself and two of our kids. MSG. And we went. Yep.
Oh wow!
It was a lot of fun. I talked to Tom Murray from work. He said, park in Jersey, take the train over, takes your drops right underneath the MSG. I was like, fantastic. And that's what we did. We had a great time, you know, but I didn't have to drive in New York City. I had a great time. We walked around. We went for dinner and then we went to see Billy Joel and we went up in the Empire State Building. And that's cost you like $45. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. For maintenance.
Yeah.
To keep
maintenance. That's what
it is. It beautiful. Yeah.
So when you lean on the railing up there, it doesn't fall off with you.
Yeah.
but we had
to just replace the cable so the elevator don't fall.
Go all the way down. Yeah. But we did have a blast. And you're right. It is a beautiful city at times.
It's once or twice in your life to go there.
Great place to visit. Won't want to live there.
Yeah. Well,
good. I'm done.
I don't even want to.
I was there twice. I don't have to go back.
There you go.
Once or twice in my life. I don't have to go back.
For me, the high excitement was Billy Joel. I got to see Billy Joel.
I want to go there. Like, Billy Joel had only 100 shows, but I'm telling you what. Yeah. He's the best.
He is. Still my favorite. I love the concert. I had a great time.
Yeah. He said, I'm going to do this once a month until it stops selling out. And then he just had to stop because it sold out every freaking month.
Yeah. And there are people who go. Who just go every time?
He turned around and went to the scooter out in LA, Vegas.
We were up in the way up.
Yeah. When you work in New York City and you got big bucks, you can do that.
I guess.
That's why they all live over. They live over here. They don't mind driving an hour and a half to get into the city.
It was
cars. Anyway, they just rotate them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't cheap. I can tell you that. Like I said,
but it was a once in a lifetime.
It was,
and it's something you'll never forget.
Nope.
And it'll never happen
again.
And
I took videos of it. You know, I was able to, video some of the songs, and it was just fun. Yeah, we had a blast. Anyway, back to you. that's an excursion into my own personal little life.
You keep interrupting me.
I do.
Would you let her talk?
I do, don't I? Because I keep having to come back to you.
Smart ass. So
back to you.
Smarty pants.
Go ahead, tell her. I'm done now.
I'm done.
I quit. Well, one of the... After I was doing this with Lee for a while, then they put me on Lee's run when he got out. And I went over the GW into Long Island, came back to Jersey, went over the GW, went up to New Haven. Then I went across 84 to Newburgh and back home. And I used to, and then sometimes when I started, I went into Edison. So that was the, all five terminals. And I used to call that a trip around the world.
Okay.
And that was over 600 miles.
Wow.
And I told them this, I can't do this all the time, but it wasn't in a situation where they put me, but for almost a year and a half, or I don't know how long, but I went over the GW four times a night.
Wow.
That's expensive. Whew.
Yep. Went up into Long Island, came back to Jersey, and he said, hook up to this one and go right away and don't poke around. He says, you'll get over the GW with no problem. I said, no, I'm not taking it. And he said, oh, you have to. And the first two times I was supposed to take it, I refused to. Mm-hmm. So then after a while, they said, well, we're going to save it for you. I said, well, I don't care what you do with it. Right. And in the beginning, I told him, I'm never doing this. So then after I was there a year or two and they hooked me up to it, when I was going back into up to the GW a second time, uh-huh. he said, just keep going. He says, you're going to do 55 across the bridge. I'm like, yeah, like hell. When I got up there, I couldn't believe it. It was wide open.
Wow.
55. Because he said he has a map in front of him. And he can tell how the traffic is. So and after that, he says, you're willing to do that tomorrow night?
Yeah, see, you did it once.
Yeah.
And then I was locked in. Every yeah. night I did it. And sometimes wow. I had some traffic, but I got into it. That's silly good. And stupid as it was, I got into it.
It's all right.
I had good money coming in.
There you go.
Life is good.
No time to spend it, but you had good money coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was working towards my retirement to buy my my ranch house.
Mm.
But yeah. Then from there, I had knee replacement, and I didn't want to go back because it was just too much.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting too tired and everything. So then I was looking for another company. I inquired of about 40 different companies. Mm-hmm. Some of them sounded pretty good. It would be a day gig until they said, well, you know, we decided to put you in a sleeper truck and we're going to hook up a beautiful colored TV for you. I'm like, oh, that means I'm not coming home. I said, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, you'll come home. Oh, no, no.
You'll come home once every 6 weeks.
If I'm coming home.
Exactly.
No, so I had two or three I was going to hook up to, and then mm-hmm. I got in touch with Pitt and went down for an interview and talked to him, and I told him I worked at JP and what I was doing, and he said, well, you know, they're top dog, but we're number two. I'm like, you are? He says, yeah, we're just waiting. I said, yeah, you are, yeah. for you line. But he hired me and put me on line haul for 3 months, and I didn't know it, but when he hired me, they hired me for McKesson.
Okay.
And McKesson started December 1st, and that's when I was, when I got trained, I was with Bill
mm-hmm.
Rambo, and then when we went, him and I went together with a McKesson to start their new account on December 1st, 2019.
That's awesome.
And then about 2 months later or so, Bill got out of it, and that's when Wilson came.
Wow, and so you've been here since 2019?
Yeah.
Oh, that time really goes by fast, doesn't it?
It does. Amazing. I only plan to work for 2 or 3 years. I'm here 5.
I'm 27. Yeah, well, you know, a guy can dream, right?
Yes,
I was going to make all my money in 2 years.
Yeah. So I've had a lot of different trucking.
You're living in a cardboard box, are you?
Yeah, I am.
In a van down by the river.
Down by the river.
Left his wife and kids and lives in a box.
But no, that's really cool. That's a really cool story. I like that.
Yeah, so I've...
It definitely had its adventure.
Yeah, really. It really has. And that, yes. And that's the thing I think is so cool is like, you know, people think truck drivers are just truck drivers. No, every truck driver's got a story.
Oh, yeah.
Their life is a story. They you know.
And every night's an adventure.
It is.
You do not know what's going to happen. You that's do right. not know what you're going to get into, what roads close, what detour you're going to have to take,
yep.
what's burning in front of the highway. And
yep.
just what, a week or two ago, there was a big truck with the trailer on 78 by exit, mm-hmm. a mile before 287. It was up in flames. It was up in flames because Don called me and told me he's the other.
Oh, on the westbound side.
Yeah.
I saw that burn mark.
Yeah, there's still a nice scorch mark.
That'll be there a long time.
Yeah, when I come back from Newark Airport, I saw that burn mark. Ooh, somebody cooked.
Yeah. That truck was totally gone like mine.
Yeah, there wasn't anything left. I passed it that morning.
And the trailer, I've never seen the trailer. It had huge holes in it, and it was just totally burnt down. It was gone. So I don't know what happened to the driver. But I hope the driver got out.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I think I don't think it was an accident. I think it was like your situation. The truck caught on fire. He pulled over.
Yep.
And he got out. But yep. I don't think it was an accident.
Looked down and said, that's a fire.
It most definitely is.
Yeah. And I'm glad I didn't see it up in flames. I don't need to go there. When I came down around, when I was going back and I saw it, I mean, all the fire trucks and everything.
Yeah. PTSD there, seeing that again. Yeah. Like, get back to your situation.
First thing I did is say a prayer for the driver and all the family getting informed and
100%.
All the people there to help him.
Yeah, it's a scary proposition. I mean, I was going up to Massachusetts like Friday night, like a month ago, before we started actually getting rain, and it was really getting dry, and there was a wildfire right there along 287.
That was happening
up there.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That was happening in the center divide up north of 80.
Yeah, this one was on the right hand side, like a hill was totally on. I'm like, why are all these people stopping? And it was smoking everywhere.
Well, they had that big wildfire up there coming down in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bright and sunny. And then as soon as you start getting close to New Jersey, it's like fog was rolling. Yeah. And then you crack the window a little bit. It sounds like it smells like a campfire. It was really bad.
You come around the bend, you look over, you see all these cars parked there, and you see the whole hill. A flame. I'm like, wow.
That happened on 78 going out to Harrisburg when I had to do the relay.
Uh-huh.
Coming back from Harrisburg, there was like 8 or 9 separate fires on the shoulder.
Wow.
A fire department from this one. Yeah, it was just something.
Flicking her cigarette butts up.
Or something was backfiring because it was like a 20-30 mile stretch from 81 until I got to pretty much your exit here.
Yeah.
Different spots. There were just separate fires.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Because everything was so damn dry.
Yeah.
Wouldn't take much.
Mm.
Nope.
So is everything okay? The cancer and all that?
Mm.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Last year at this time, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Okay. I was shocked and not very happy.
I can imagine.
Went through surgery.
Mm.
No chemo. Got radiation. After radiation in the end of May, I came back to work, but the tiredness was very tiring.
Sure.
I'm finally, slowly now, after five, six months, I'm finally starting to feel better.
Good.
So, but I've gotten through it, and it was, everyone says, so does that mean you're retiring? I said, no.
Bill.
I'm going back.
I was thinking about that McKesson run. No, retirement sounds good.
Did you
for
ask
you.
Me that?
I would say at least several times.
No, the best one that he asked me is, so how long do you plan to be here? I said 2-3 years. And as the time passed, so how long? And then I said to him, I'm going to mess him up. 10 years. 10 years. I won't be here in 10 years.
Oh, you said 10 years. Well, let's try to drage out.
He said, I won't be here. But I said, I will. So. But yeah, I got through the cancer and I'm getting through it. I'm and
glad to hear that.
One day at a time.
Yeah. And I'm not going to let it stop me. A lot of people couldn't understand because I am capable of retiring now if I want to.
No, don't, because I would like to see you put him through hell.
He already is. whenever he covers for me, he's walking into hell. And we're not going to go any further.
Enough said.
But I don't know when this happened. And when I got back to her, I was like, oh, I need to set a date. I need to set a date. And then as time passed, the doctor said, well, everyone recoups differently. I'll be better. And now that I'm feeling better, it's like, well, maybe in 2-3 months, because I have another operation I have to go through related to the breast cancer. And I'm going to do that in January. I'll be out like 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, depending how the surgery goes. And I'm planning to retire like a month or two after that.
Right.
Like I told Bill the other night, I was on break and he was on break and we were talking. I said, you know, it's awful. I said, you know, the one JP driver I saw tonight, we were talking on the CB. I said, you know, sometimes I can't stand this job and I don't want to be up all night and get my sleep during the day and I'm tired. Right. But I said, when I talked to him, I said, it was like old times. Like, no, I don't want to retire. I said, yep. Some days I want to and the next day I don't. So I said, I don't know. It's a tough call, but I will retire sometime.
Well, after you get back from your surgery, just tell him with grace.
Yeah, probably next year.
Well, whatever that is. When I got hired at 65 with Brian Whalen, he was 5 years younger than me. He said, well, you know, if you work here for 5 years, he said, you could have a good retirement with Pitt. I said, 5 years? I said, you expect me to be a gray-haired old lady, 70 years old, driving truck? And he shut up.
How old are
you? And guess what? I'm here.
And he's retired.
And he's retired.
And he checked out. Yeah, he retired out.
No gray hair.
No gray hair. None.
That's awesome.
No.
That is fantastic. No. And I'm glad. I'm glad things are working out.
Yeah. For you. So I don't know. We'll find out.
Good. Yeah. And whatever happens,
I just stay just to aggravate him more.
I know.
I'm getting. See who goes first. Him. You just tired of waiting, or you?
You never know. So I don't know. Well, I'm winging it. Yeah. Every time when it gets sour and I'm tired and with the cancer and everything, thank God I didn't have chemo because I would be in a worse condition.
Oh, yeah.
But they said I should not have no reoccurrences with breast cancer again. They caught it in the lowest possible stage.
Wow, that's really
ever.
Cool.
That is great.
So the only thing I can say to any women, and I guess this includes men too, what I found was like a corn kernel on my chest bone. Mm-hmm. And when I took a shower, I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. When I sat up and in the living room, I couldn't find it. But when I go to bed and lay down, which mm-hmm. is what you do in the doctor's office to get checked, I could find it. Mm. And after 2 or 3 days, I thought, well, it's probably a calcium deposit or something.
Yeah.
So I called and they said, oh, okay, when are you available? I said, well, when do you have an appointment? Can you be here in 3 hours? I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm thinking, yeah. So I went in, got checked out. They said, okay, we need to send you for a biopsy. I'm like, oh, my God. So then I got the biopsy.
It went from zero to six, boom.
Yeah. And I said, is this cancer? They said, we can't say. We don't know. So they did a biopsy, and then it was cancer. It was like, happy holidays last year. It's like, oh, my God. So, but then I moved forward with it. But the only thing I can tell women, especially, if you find anything, I thought breast cancer was a lump in the boob.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be, but doesn't have to be. I had a tiny corn kernel on my chest bone, and that was my cancer.
Wow.
And because I found something different and called the doctor, they got me in right away and took care of procedures. Lehigh Valley's top notch with this.
That's great. When
you have cancer, you have a team. I had someone calling me once I was diagnosed every day or every other day to check on me.
Wow.
How am I dealing with this? Am I still working? Am I getting my rest? How's my stress level? And I had it, my nurse, Mary, was my advocate, and they checked on me constantly. After I had surgery, there was someone calling me every day. I got counseling through it, which I'm still going with. Mm-hmm. Once you have this, I got free counseling. And I can't say anything bad about Lehigh Valley.
That's great.
They took really good care, and you're never alone.
Yeah. Thank God you caught it early.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, really. I think it's great.
Yep. That's so. Great.
Yeah, you hear stories, you know, like with you, and then last week we interviewed Tanya. She went through it.
Yeah. She went through Lehigh Valley too.
Yeah.
Only reason I know that is Doc Manchester works there. The nurse that she knew that I know.
She knew that you know.
She knows.
She knows that I know.
She knew that I know.
The robot doesn't talk again.
It's the stuffiness.
Keeping the oxygen getting all the way up.
That's it.
Yeah. The only thing I can say is be proactive. When something's not right with your body, don't ignore it, especially as you get older.
Yep.
You never know. And it's just a phone call and go in and see what they find. And if they know more of the symptoms than we do.
Yeah, that's very true.
And I've just learned to, they said this is very rare to catch what I had in this.
That early.
This early.
Yeah.
And I mean, with no chemo. Chemo is really hard on your body.
Oh, my word.
And Tanya had the chemo.
Yeah. Right.
And the radiation.
She said how hard it was.
It's, yeah. Yeah. And you don't know what tired is until this. The tiredness.
I believe that.
Sometimes when I walk at home, I put my hands up at the walls. It's like, oh, my God, I am walking like an old lady, you know. Sometimes I didn't want to get out of bed, but I always came to work. I never called
off. Just keep this in the back of your mind. The longer you keep working, just aggravates him more.
Hey.
And that's enough motivation. People understand.
It's the cough medicine if he gets to talk.
Yeah.
Five more years.
Five more years. You may talk, Bill. Go ahead. It's talking into a microphone, Bill.
When are you retiring?
I don't know. When are you retiring, Bill?
Hey, you can walk out too anytime.
3 years, I'm going.
She's retiring in four. Yeah.
You just answered your own question. 3 years, 1 hour, and 10 minutes.
Tell me the month.
go out together. You don't have to, but we only have to buy one cake for the terminal.
Though. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We're save all trying
money.
To save money.
I want my own cake. I'm not sharing.
That's she awesome. Don't share well with others.
No. Shipper doesn't play well with others either.
No, this so is true.
You know, no, he's a people person.
Well, but I don't play fair.
There you go. Amen, sister. That's awesome.
I may be female and I may be a female trucker, but believe me, being around men for many years, not so much Pitt, Ohio drivers, but other companies I work with, as my son would put it.
Oh, I've put it.
I can imagine how you'd put it.
My mom can stand with the best of men, and she's got a mouth like a sailor.
There you go.
And he goes, and I'm not proud of it, but she is.
I mean, no, I've actually said this to the other women on the show. As long as I look at you as you should be able to do the job just as well as me.
Yep.
If you need help, glad to show you, glad to help you once. But if you're in that mentality to use you being a woman as, oh, could you get this for me?
Yep. And then microphones.
Could you get this for me today? And then the next day, could you get this for me? I'm done with you.
Yep.
Show me you know, I'll gladly show you whatever you need help on. Show you how to do it. You're on your own. You do it. I got nothing but admiration for you. Yep.
Physically, anybody can do this job. It's the mental requirement. You got to have a half a brain in your head not to kill yourself or others. But I'm talking about Mike.
I know.
No, you're
but,
fine.
No, but I mean, I worked with the towing company. I worked, and there was a broad that came in.
A broad. Here we go. The broad thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And there was a broad that came in, and she was that way. Well, I can't change this tire. I can't get the lug nuts loose.
Well, then what are you doing here? Oh.
Thank you. But
you were nice.
You know, guess what? I could fix that because I always got stuck changing the tire.
Yeah.
I hate changing tires. I mean, even though it was like a NASCAR pit stop, it just sucked that I had to do it because she couldn't do it.
Right.
That truck, I hooked up an air chuck and an air hose right to it. Here's an air gun. Now she didn't have a bitch.
No excuse.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you hear. Well, I can't find the socket. Well, that's your truck, right? You use it, not my fucking problem.
Look for it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Amen. Yeah,
Luann is amazing. I have to say, I mean, you don't find many women out there, but you really don't find many women out there at the age of 70. And I've seen what she does, and she is amazing. She
35,
really is.
35, you mean? She's 35.
I only drive 75 miles one way. Get a grip.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
See that? We all say the same That's thing. Right. 90 one way, 75 one way.
Yeah, she truly is. I've been and impressed.
And I got nothing but admiration for somebody that doesn't.
100%.
We all put our pants on one leg at a time.
And if you're in her old cab over, you did it differently.
Laying down.
Yeah,
laying
true, down. Yeah. That really, sucked.
You weren't even standing up to do it.
Yeah.
But it is.
Half
it
the
is
battle awesome. Was climbing up the damn thing. Oh,
my word, yeah.
Hey, you had to have your feet perfectly placed in those cats. They only had like a little foothold to stick your foot in in some of those trucks.
Yep.
But that's why they're not around anymore.
In Europe, they are.
Yeah.
Are we there?
No.
Every now and then you see a cab over on the road.
Yeah,
you do.
You do. And they're neat to see.
And I pity them. Because
it's a real throwback. Well, you know, the ones you do see now are guys who want them. You know what I mean? Like these are guys who have, you know, kept it in great shape.
Well, they have newer ones. They had a little resurgence a couple years back when they were talking about getting longer trailers and everything.
Yeah.
So a lot of the cab overs came out. Some I think Peterbilt or Kenworth or somebody made some Freightliners for a couple of years, and now they just you don't see them anymore.
Yeah. But it is neat to see them every now and then when you see them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's kind of cool. Like a throwback, you know?
Yeah.
But
a couple of times after I become a seasoned driver, I have helped other men drivers with different things.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I have.
Because you know why? You're a driver.
Yep.
Because you know, we ought not look at somebody and go, well, you're a female driver or you're a male driver.
Yep.
You're a driver. You can do the job. And you can help somebody just, and there's no shame in taking help from a woman. There's no shame in getting help from a man. We're all drivers.
Yeah, we're all the same.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, it's literally, we're doing a job.
Yep.
We're just a person.
Yeah.
You know?
When I had my own truck and I could wear my own clothes, I always made sure in the summer I wore shorts that were just above the knee.
Yeah.
It was proper.
Yes.
And when I would get in and out of the truck along the road or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the horns would go. I could hear the CB. It's like, oh yeah. My gosh. But yeah.
Yeah.
You've seen legs.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
She has two of them.
Yeah.
And they go all the way up.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. They've never seen a woman before.
Yeah. It's like, it's so crazy.
Yep. Yeah. But,
you know.
It's like the cartoons. The eyes go, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. City wolf, country wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nuts. I just find it to be so. It's
well Paul, you know. I helped out at McKesson, mm-hmm. and McKesson in the first two winters or so, they weren't very good at plowing or soling where we parked, and it was just on a slight downhill.
Okay.
And when we got out to back up to drop and hook and put the tractor back, he didn't have traction to get right. under it, and we had salt, and they only gave us a five gallon thing of salt for all us drivers.
Wow.
So after a while, we kept a bag of salt from pit in our trucks, and I scooped it out, and I said, Paul, just stay there. And I said, as you back up, I was salting on one side of the tires and the other till he got back under it. And he said, without you here, I couldn't have backed up. So that was a simple, and he said,
yeah.
Some people wouldn't bother to help another driver.
Exactly.
But you know, and
exactly.
I've helped him, and he's a good guy. We worked, that it's winter, good. We were together a lot
yeah.
with the bad weather.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because you have to. You got to help each other. Because one time you're going to need help. You know?
Yep.
So.
You never know when you're stuck along the road.
100%. Well, Luann, we have had a blast having a conversation.
This is a lot of fun.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? You want to mention anything about Luann or training her?
She did
a
great job today,
I think she did a great job. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
I had a blast. I really did.
Now we have to get Bill out here for his own show.
Yep.
We're going to have to come out for now.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Yep.
Going to be talking with my sister. Hopefully we can get Juke out here. Everybody knows yep. Juke except for Luann, that's my cousin.
Okay.
And we're going to see if we can
make that happen.
Out here.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
When I do go to retire, I will tell you.
Will you?
Yeah,
3 weeks right. afterwards.
When will that be?
I should call you up. Hey, tonight's my last.
I don't know. Some days are better, and some days I want to retire tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. I think we all feel that.
I want to retire tomorrow.
I wanted to retire yesterday. Screw tomorrow. You know, it's just the way it is. You wish you could.
Yep.
And we will one of these days.
But one thing you guys have at Pitt, which is wonderful, as you're there many years,
mm-hmm.
you get more weeks of vacation.
Yeah.
For me, I don't.
Oh, really?
I have multiple years of experience, but right. I can get the 2 or 3 weeks vacation.
Right.
Like some other drivers have 6 weeks a year. If I could mm-hmm. stay now and have 6 weeks, I would never retire.
Well, see, this is what I say. This is how I look at it. I'm never going to get to that 6 week plateau. I'm going to be out way before that ever happens. I'm going to go from 3 to the whole rest of my life,
yes.
which will be 6 months.
Yes.
He's on a 10-year plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that's one of the good things about Pitt.
It is.
Right.
I think it's one of those things that they do, that they offer, and is really nice.
Yeah,
I enjoy the 6 weeks.
When these younger drivers get 6 weeks, and yeah. I only get 2 or 3, I do get...
6 plus 3 days.
Yeah.
Now, I think that should go to 5. I've been pushing for that. We should get 5 personal.
Yeah. Somebody else was pushing for
that. Yeah.
I hope they succeed.
Mm,
yeah, but all these guys are younger than me. This is not right or fair. They should each give me one of their weeks.
Whoa, slow down now.
Yeah. I will start with those guys that aren't 55 yet.
I'm in my 50s. begins with a 5. I'm right with
close enough. This is like Hawaii 5-0.
Just like this weekend, we've had 4 days off. This has been good for me.
It is a nice weekend, isn't it?
It really helps.
Yeah, I'm off next week too, so that helps too.
Oh, you're a little stinker.
I am.
he's got to burn part of the last of his 6 weeks.
Yeah, I got this, and then Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah,
Mike. What about you? How much do you have left?
I got 2 days before. My 2 personal days I didn't use this year for a change. I didn't actually use personal days. So the 2 days right before the 2 days before New Year's.
Oh, no, you can't use them then.
No, I can.
Once they pay you, you can't use them.
No, it's a new rule.
It's a new rule.
Well, that must have started after me.
Did they pay you yet for them?
No.
Well, there you go. You're still good.
No, they're going to have one angry fat guy in their office if they don't pay me for those days.
Shippers going in for you? I couldn't resist. I love your ship.
Hey, I'll go ahead and fight for anybody. I don't care.
He'll probably be there. He is angry. Mouth. So.
Yeah,
he's
that guy. You know.
I'll go.
I've got no room to talk, and I love Ship. He's a great guy. He is.
I'll have to remember you.
Yeah,
how can you forget him?
We'll all remember him, all right. But anyway, Luann, thank you so much for coming in. Bill, thanks for coming in with Luann. Thank you for bringing her out.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in and talking about Wilson with us. We do really appreciate it.
Yep.
It really was. It was great to have us actually sit down and get to meet you and talk with you. I've seen you before. I remember when you started, but you know, to actually get a chance to sit and talk.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, a lot of times we just pass each other. You know, we all work for the same company.
And most of the drivers, they know me, but I don't really know
them.
And in the winter, they all look the same with a coat and a hat on and a beard.
A beard, yep, exactly. So we get it.
It's their winter attire.
It's their winter attire, So,
and then when you see them in the summer, like, oh, I definitely don't know that one.
Yep. Can you put that coat back on?
And the hat. Grow the beard back, put the hat back. I don't want to look at that.
Sorry about that, bro.
And then there's one or two that are like, wow.
Oh, boy.
I've never looked at them and thought that. Well, ever. Trust me.
As a female.
There you go. That's a female.
She's comparing nail polish to other drivers.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll just move right along on that note.
Time to wrap this one up.
You don't want to circle back to that?
No, we don't want to circle back.
Don't eat
to that
no grass.
No, we're all good. So thank you so much for coming in. We hope you enjoyed yourselves. We enjoyed ourselves. We hope everybody out there enjoyed themselves too as well, listening to this show. If they did enjoy themselves, what can they do?
Share the show.
Share it with everybody you can. Share it everywhere you can. Share it in person. Share it on your social media.
We're not against you forcing people to listen to the show.
Not at all.
As long as they download it.
That's right. With all that being said, keep the hammer down.
Hammer lane.
Hey, good night. Man. Good night.
Good night.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. ATI.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.